This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us. Today we touch base with John Rutherford, who is an Ironman triathlete who has definitely got his Ironman nutrition dialed in. And he dialed it in way before he got into triathlon. He used to run a lot of ultra runs, and that's where he figured it all out. And it's very much in line with the way Dr. Daniel Plews races as well. And speaking of Dr. Daniel Plews, the reason I bring him up is because today you'll also get to hear the next installment of the Do You Know Kona audio series that Dan is bringing to us in the build-up to Ironman World Championships this year. All thanks to S Fuels. That's coming up in just a moment. Speaking of S Fuels, finally, as an ultra endurance athlete, you have a choice, and that's to hydrate and fuel your muscles without sugary drinks and gels, without sugar swings, without sugar gut issues, and without sugar inflammation. S Fuels Ultra Endurance Drink Mix in coconut, lime, strawberry lemonade, and pomegranate acai flavors hydrate, fuel, and support the gut and muscles in ultra endurance training and racing. And the best part about it, they're giving you the chance to try them out absolutely risk-free. I'll throw in free shipping plus a money-back guarantee on your first order. So if you're not completely satisfied with it, if you want to try it out and you're not happy, simply return it and get your money back. You've got nothing to lose. So go check them out. That's thekonaedge.com/S-Fuels. That's S-F-U-E-L-S. That's the URL to get to. You can also click through from the podcast player you're listening to this on as well, and in the show notes to this episode of The Kona Edge. That's thekonaedge.com/S-Fuels. Go check them out. Before we get into my chat with John, let's touch base with Dr. Dan Plews and see how his build-up to Kona is going.
Hi there, Dan Plews here from S-Fuels TV, and welcome to Do You Know Kona? And now we are 7 weeks out from the big day, from the big dance on the island of Hawaii for the World Championships. And this week we're going to have a little bit of a talk around transition. So I think most people who will be competing on the island have obviously been through the transition a few times and know what they're doing. But one top tip from me is that I've only raced there once before, but I do know the transition area is really big and there are a lot of bikes in there. So before the race, I would really recommend that you spend at least a little bit of time, once you rat your bike, get to the swim exit and just run through the bike transition at speed. Don't walk it, jog it if you can, and that'll give you a really good idea of where your bike actually is. And try and look around in the surroundings and look at some markers that will give you that will make you indicate where your bike is, because there's really nothing worse than coming out of the swim, having a great swim, and then not being able to find your bike because you haven't really paid enough attention to where it is. That'll be my top tip. Until next time, over and out.
Let's chat some nutrition here on the Kona Edge today, and we head back to the United States to touch base with John Rutherford. John, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
John, you've got your sports nutrition and Ironman nutrition dialed in a long time ago. You know exactly what to do. You know what you need, and you just execute it. You follow a low-carb, high-fat diet, very much into that side of things. Tell me a little bit about how you first got introduced to it and what it's done for you as an athlete and as a person overall.
Yeah, certainly. So I'd say to sell it up front, I really don't think about nutrition that much anymore. It's all very intuitive, and I haven't bonked since 2010, going on 8 years now. So from my perspective, what I'm doing so far, so good. I got into this world before it was super popular. I think as an ultra runner, it had caught on a bit before I got into it. My ultra running coach, Peter Defty, is a distributor for a product called Vespa, a Japanese product. And he saw me at Angeles Crest 100 miler in 2010. And as we talked about previously, I had the bonk of my life, mile 55, hands and knees. There was nothing wrong with my body other than that I just bonked really, really hard. He got a hold of me afterwards and he's like, look, what are you doing for nutrition? Let me try to talk you into doing it a different way. And I decided to give it a go. You know, what have I got to lose? I was in love with ultra marathon. The one thing I didn't love about it was GI distress and the inevitable bonk. Every single time I did one of these things, I knew that no matter what else happened, whether I finished, whether I placed well, I knew for sure at some point I was going to bonk and I was going to dig myself out of it and I was going to be on this sort of sugar roller coaster the rest of the day. And that's the way I raced ultras. Thereafter, he got me pretty much as, you know, I mean, think what you probably call like a hard reset sort of keto focused, low carb, high fat diet for a number of months before I started adopting more of what he would call the optimized fat metabolism principles, where we actually use sugar as a weapon and sugar as a performance enhancing drug, for lack of a better term, and using the sort of sugar drip as a tactical tool in a race when it was required. But I went from that experience in 2010 to running a PR 8 hours faster at Western States in 2011. And going 1930 Western States on probably 1600, 1700 calories. And huge paradigm shift for me. I think it's highly individual. And everyone's experience with whatever the nutrition strategy is an N equals one experiment. For me, it's been an iterative process as well. I went from being very strictly keto and almost having, I definitely had a fear of carbs. And I was very strictly no sugar, no grain, ever, not even in a post-workout type environment, being very strict about that for a couple of years. I was in a research study at the University of Connecticut, the FASTER study under Jeff Volek, where they had about a dozen of us in the sort of keto group and a dozen in the control group with a standard athlete diet, for lack of a better term. And I think then and there was when I really truly pressed the I believe button. Like, wow, I can actually run on a treadmill at 70% VO2 max on zero carbs, look at the metabolic part with a mask on, and see that I'm burning 98-99% fat and very, very little glycogen, negligible amount. So essentially bonk proof at that type of intensity level, which is approximately the intensity level that I think most of us are at for Ironman, sort of 0.7, 0.8 intensity factor. What also came out of that, though, is that we're as a low carb, high fat group, we're not faster. And I think that that argument gets lost on a lot of people having this argument, for lack of a better term. I don't think there necessarily should be an argument because it is so individualized. And if you look at the pointy end of a sport, I don't think you're going to find too many people going sub-8 on a low carb diet. And it's difficult to make that argument that it's necessarily the fastest, best diet for everybody. But I can say for me personally, and I think for most age groupers or ultra marathoners who take this approach, for one, you're bonk proof. Two, logistically, it is so much simpler to just not have 15 goos taped to the top of your bike and having to deal with the GI distress and worrying about where you're going to get your next 400 calories from. It's just so much simpler to eat less, and it's a lot easier on your body. Again, I'm not convinced necessarily that it's faster, but it's definitely a lot more enjoyable, and it's just a lot simpler. And I think, I'll try to stay away from the bro science because I have zero science background whatsoever. But there's probably something to the long term implications of fueling all this massive aerobic work we do with sugar and sort of oxidative stress relative to what the experts say is a less oxidative sort of lower impact means of fueling your body, even a more natural means of fueling your body for aerobic endurance.
Yeah, absolutely, John. And I'm glad you mentioned the term bro science, because I've done quite a bit of work with some people in this field who are really good at what they do. I'm no expert either, but I just think people don't read. And I don't know what it is, if it's a time thing or if people are just too lazy to read, but there's so much literature out there. And as you say, it's an experiment of one. And I've spoken to a lot of the sort of big scientists in this space, and they'll all tell you exactly the same. There is no one size fits all. You've got to do what works for you. And the only way you figure out what works for you is to try things. And I think people want to paint by numbers, tell me exactly what I need to, how many calories I need to eat at what time, how often. And it's just, unfortunately, that doesn't work. And I try and bring that message home here on the podcast. And the reason I ask people about their nutritional experiences, because I want to know what works for you, because maybe that gives me an idea for something that I can test. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I think that's the way we need to approach this thing.
I think you're really onto something there. I mean, it's very easy to kind of get caught up in this sort of tribal mentality of, you know, either being traditionalist or keto or paleo. For me and my journey, what made me faster as a triathlete was sort of breaking out of that tribal mentality, because I was keto and low carb, high fat for so long that I had this fear of sugar. And really, it was introducing carbs and getting back, getting over my fear of carbs and introducing them strategically, that really got me over the edge. And I see now also as being more single sport focused with cycling, it's easier, you know, with that single variable, single sport, to kind of see what balance is right for me. But that balance is going to be different for everyone. You know, it's tough. And the only way to learn is by experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the only way to do it. And yeah, it's one of those things. We talk about Ironman, where you talk about you've got your Ironman friends and you've got your non-Ironman friends. It's pretty much the same thing with nutrition. It's either you've got people who, I mean, you must have got yourself into some serious debates. An Ironman and you're into keto. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly. That's how I found my coach. I mean, I started off in with the perspective of I want to race Ironman, but I want to find a coach who can appreciate this sort of paradigm, because it's still not very popular in Ironman. I think the standard is to walk through a T1 and see gels taped all over bikes, and I see that, and you know, I kind of feel bad for folks. Like, it doesn't have to be that way, right? I'm not saying I don't think anybody in the sport is arguing that you shouldn't have any carbohydrate. I think it's kind of a matter of settled science that it actually can be performance enhancing. But, you know, trying to replace every single calorie you burn out there on the bike course is just not fun.
No, and especially if you're struggling with GI distress later on, you can't keep doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. You've got to try something, and I'm not saying something drastic, but as you said, it's a paradigm shift, it's a change of thinking, and maybe that's what it takes. You need your brain taken out of your head, shaken around, bounced a bit, put back in, and you know what, it might hurt a bit, but long term it might be what's best for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the only way is to experiment and figure out what's best. There really isn't a cookie cutter approach that's going to work for anybody.
Absolutely. Well, John, it's been great catching up. Thank you so much for your time here on the Cone Edge. Much appreciated. Best of luck in your travels. And we look forward to seeing when you make a comeback to Kona once again. We'll be following your journey closely.
Absolutely. See you out there. Thank you very much.
And that's it for another edition of the Cone Edge. Thank you so much to John for sharing his Ironman nutrition tips with us. Sounds like he's definitely got it dialed in. And if you're struggling with sugar swings and sugar lows and bonking and that sort of thing, definitely check out S-Fuels. They are the sponsor of this edition of the podcast. You cannot go wrong, and you can try them out absolutely risk-free, okay? Because they'll throw in free shipping, plus they'll also give you a money-back guarantee on your first order. So if you're not happy and you're not convinced, simply return it and you'll get your money back. But I'm pretty sure you will be happy when you try them out. The URL to get to is thekonaedge.com/S-Fuels, okay? Go check them out. And thanks to Dan Plews, who continues his build-up to Kona 2018. We'll have the next edition of Do You Know Kona next week here on the podcast. Until then, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.